Welcome to episode number 200. I am 25. And that talk still sound like Parliament. Don't bring feelings to a fact fight, says the even keel. Born in Texas, raised in VA, representing everything New Jerusalem. And let me get a mega pause right quick, because he wants you to know that New Jersey is the world capital of eggplant. Each year, New Jersey produces 26 million pounds of eggplant, which also supplies two-thirds of the world with eggplant. Yes, you are now listening to the sounds of Sports Reports is Ordered. And do me a favor out there. Like, review, subscribe, share, rate, do all the free things. And while you at it, do all the good things. Let's get this thing started. So, Mr. Logical, as I was sitting around, you know, looking at the calendar and everything, I was watching this Notre Dame-Penn State game last night, and then I was like, yo, the NFL playoffs start this weekend. And I know we made preseason picks, you know, like you picked Detroit and Kansas City. I don't remember who your winner was.
I don't know if I can't remember if I picked the winner, because I just think like the three-peat aspect of it was like it was too easy.
Yeah.
Like Detroit had a little bit more like a redemption story because they just came up short NFC Championship game. So I think I might have leaned more that way, but I also was probably thinking I think Andy Reid would capitalize on a Dan Campbell 4th-and-3 from the 50 in the second quarter for no reason kind of a situation. So I can't remember who I picked the winner would be.
Well, I picked I picked San Francisco over Baltimore in my Super Bowl, but obviously that ain't going to happen. So while I was thinking about the playoffs, I wanted to ask you a question. And here we go. Mr. Logical, what team do you have the most faith in to make the Super Bowl this year?
The most faith. I got 14 choices. All right. So this isn't a lack of pick integrity, right? It's just a matter of like who's playing well now.
All right.
Like your phrase of 2024 was like back to the mean. You used to say that.
Right.
I think that Baltimore is playing better defensively than they were playing early. So I think going through adversity and then, you know, going up at the end of the year, getting better defensively helps them. And Lamar's been playing like out of his mind. And while the defense has gotten better, it makes him look like he's playing even better, because now the scores, they're winning games by 2-3 possessions, where he was doing the same thing. Like he only had 4 picks or 5 picks all year, and 4 went off wide receivers' hands or something like that. Crazy. So the fact that the defense started playing better, him throwing the pass and putting his finger in the air, it was like he was doing that stuff early in the year, but the defense was like letting them down. So they had, you know, 5-6 losses, and it was like, oh, Baltimore's not that good. He was still playing outstanding. So I think Baltimore, if I had to bet my rent check on it, I will put the money on Baltimore, just because I think they're playing at a high level everywhere. And what they do is it travels. They run the ball well. They throw the ball at the tight ends well. Their quarterback is dynamic to the point where he puts pressure on all 11 players on defense and all the coordinators on the sideline simultaneously. You know, so it just – Patrick Mahomes had that kind of effect on people when he was able to have a steady wide receiver core that can, like, take the top off. And it's like you had to be on the lookout for him throwing the ball deep. But I think now it's just because that element is kind of taken away, he has to just, he has to be perfect in crunch time, whereas Lamar can just be Lamar from the opening snap to all zeros on the clock.
Okay. So I will see your Baltimore, and I will raise you a team that beat Baltimore during the regular season. I'm going to throw up in my mouth a little bit, but it's going to end up spinning onto the Philadelphia Eagles. So as I look at the Eagles, you know, you talked about Baltimore's defense and how it's improving. Well, Philly's defense has been good since day one. You know, talent everywhere. You know, you don't have to rely on Darius Slay anymore because you got Quinyon Mitchell holding it down now. You know, I look at Jalen Hurts. He's obviously coming off of this injury. Hopefully he doesn't say his name is Batman and make me look stupid and not play this weekend, but he is practicing. Yeah. But I think Philly came into this season with a little bit of a mantra of unfinished business, you know, from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, how last season ended. I think I don't want to use the they're on a mission type verbiage, but I just look at it as they feel like they were on the doorstep and they want to get back. And then they went out and added Saquon Barkley, you know, Mr. 2000, you know, who I don't know if he's motivated from the standpoint of I wanted to break the record and Sirianni didn't let me. So now I'm about to just run with all the energy that I have in this body. And we're going to – so I feel like they're the team that, besides Detroit, who probably has the most balance offensively, but I also think that they have the first or second best defense in the playoffs as well. You know, so the only thing that I question, going back to what you were saying last week, is we feel a certain way about Sirianni. You know what I mean? But yeah, we might be off a little bit.
Yeah, I don't believe the players feel the way the media does. I think the media, and we talked about this before, I think the media has an expectation of coaches and quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. They put that label on Lamar, like you got to be a professional, you got to look a certain, talk and move a certain, all these different little monikers. That's why everyone loves Brock Purdy, because he looks the part, he talks the part, he walks the part.
Until he gets paid.
Yo, it's gonna be tough. If they give him $60 million, like any team getting one guy $60 million that's not the owner, it's gonna be tough for your football team in the salary cap league. But I think Sirianni, like I believe that us against the world mantra. I think he lives that. Like he embodies that, even when he doesn't need to.
Right.
And I heard something on the podcast once again. I need to start remembering so I can get these guys credit.
That's how I feel about Dabo.
Philly has Sirianni is the first Philly coach with two 13-win seasons. Like crazy, Andy Reid, right? Two 13-win seasons. Granted, he had 17 games to do it, but still 13 wins. It's still a lot of 17 games.
Right. So
he has two of them already, and like no other Philly coach has two. You know, so and he's done it in 4 years, four or five seasons. Like I said, I like your Philly pick. So Baltimore, Philly wouldn't be a bad Super Bowl. I think the NFL will sign up for that. I think they sign up for Kansas City, Detroit, Kansas City, Philly to rematch. I think the NFL will like any game. I think the only game that they would be hard to sell would be like Tampa Bay versus the Chargers. I think any other combination, I think they're good with. Like you were talking about Houston versus
I say Houston versus Minnesota is the Houston, one Minnesota. They wouldn't want. Yeah.
They wouldn't want, but I was like, I think they would want that because they can sell the young gun of the league, the darling Houston Texans making this run in the playoffs, a la Eli Manning in 07.
And it would be a first-time Super Bowl winner.
First-time Super Bowl winner, and then you have the redemption story, Sam Darnold, the whole NFL worst of first. Get it out the mud, grind.
Work well, Houston hard.
That,
would be awesome.
That whole ideology that the NFL likes to sell you, which was that does come to fruition. Like we see it every year. Guys goes from worst to first, or a guy goes to another team. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are prime examples of like you could be down in the dumps, but you get the right opportunity. Hell, even Bryce Young, granted, is all kind of connected to Carolina and that bad ownership, but it is the, like the mantra of like you go worst to first, you know, get it out the mud. So. Like I said, yeah, Tampa Bay Chargers might be like the most boring, the most unlikely, but I think would be interesting would be Washington Denver because there's two rookie quarterbacks. I think that'd be huge. You got the Dan Quinn redemption story. You got Sean Payton, you know, in the salary cap league where you're paying $40 million to another guy, and you take this rookie that everyone thought was too old to the Super Bowl. I think that'd be huge. I think, like I said, I like the playoffs. So a lot of teams that make it, but it's still, like, you know, still very interesting.
I think Buffalo getting to the Super Bowl would be great just because it would be Josh Allen getting over the hump, you know, especially if they took down the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
The NFL will sign up for that for sure.
Yeah, that would be like Jordan
Taylor Swift, I mean, and the Haley Stanfield. So you got the Marvel fans versus the Swifties. I mean, you got Haley, and you got the Spider-Man.
You know what I'm saying?
And the Marvel guys versus the Swifties, Kelsey. And
I'm not trying to compare Josh Allen to Michael Jordan per se, but it would be like Jordan getting past the Pistons finally. You know, like just getting over that hump. And now that you're in the championship, who can stop them? You know, that's what I would like to see. Like, if it was up to me and I had the script, if you will, you know. And then as I look around the NFL, Jim Harbaugh would be a great story just because of him being Jim Harbaugh. And this would probably be the worst team that he got to a championship game with. So, you know, that would be nice as well.
Championship.
Fresh off the national title, you know, like he could go national title and Super Bowl in consecutive seasons.
If he makes the AFC Championship game or even the Super Bowl, just go ahead and hand him that gold jacket on his way back to his car, win or lose. Shut it down. Like
you know what? We'll circle back.
But only, yeah. I don't think you could make an argument against this. Like, yo, this dude did what? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
We'll circle back to that. I got something for that later.
Okay. Crazy that you both, if you really thought a Hall of Fame Harbaugh situation and I just came up that at the top of my head, we'd be doing the show for too long.
No. That wasn't where I was going with it.
Okay.
But, sure. You know what I'm saying? But here we go. You know what I'm saying? Let's get to the picks. You know, wild card starts tomorrow. The Houston Texans, every time they make the damn playoffs, they start off the playoff weekend. You know, they got the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh coming in. Mr. Logical, who wins and how?
Chargers ball control. Just running the ball.
Ooh, you switched it on me because I could have swore you said Houston the other day.
No, I said that would be like the surprise. Like that. I think... Like I say, Houston could surprise people because they have the talent. It's just that they weren't tested in their own division. Because I don't think there's any point this year where they were playing at the level that they played last year. I mean, like where they had like those stretches where, you know, CJ Stroud went 23-5. You know, touchdown interception ratio.
Yeah.
I don't think they had a stretch like that this year.
He threw 12 interceptions this season.
Yeah. I think they were just fortunate to play. Then they had a lot of injuries and they had guys gone. So without Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell's injury, I think that they just haven't had enough momentum to carry them because they'd have Nico Collins. I remember the game, I think it was against, might have been Denver. The game where he just was just a man amongst boys, and then he was out for like 3 or 4 weeks. So then he comes back, Stephon Diggs gets hurt. And then they get on a roll again, he's out, then he's back in, then Tank Dell. So like, I don't think they've had enough continuity. I don't think they've seen enough success this year to roll into the playoffs and say, hey, we've done this successfully with these players because so many guys have been in and out. And then you have two guys that are gone permanently. So I think the Chargers can look around and say, hey, we've done this for the last 8 weeks consistently, whatever that number is, 200 yards rushing, 250 yards passing, limited turnovers. We've been consistent with that, win or lose. I mean, they lost a couple of games, but we've been consistently playing good, smart football the way the coach wants to play it. We just take that to a team that has not played that way.
Right. And so – it's hard to make a pick sometimes because how much of the regular season do you value coming into the playoffs? Because obviously this is a new season. Everybody's 0-0. So how much did the regular season matter to what's going to happen in these playoff games? So the reason that I say that and started off that way is because the Texans have had a hell of a year. You know, they beat Buffalo, held Josh Allen to nine for 30, his worst game of the season by far, and they only won that game by three. They also had a game where Jared Goff threw five interceptions, and they lost that game. So that game against Buffalo, they won 23-20. That's the most points that they scored on a winning team this year, a team with a winning record. They're 1-5 against teams with a winning record, and that one win is that Buffalo game I just mentioned. You know, that's not good news because you're playing against the Chargers, who just happen to have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. So I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I feel the Chargers are built for the playoffs. You know, they're going to run the ball. They're going to play sound defense, not ask Justin Herbert to do too much. And in a game against the Texans, he shouldn't have to do too much. You know, because the Texans, I don't know how much fight they have. And not only, I know Stephon Diggs has been gone for a while, but Tank Dell is gone as well. And Joe Mixon has
And it was graphic. They I read something that they're thinking that he's not going to be ready for 2025.
Right.
It was like that bad. You can see it in C.J. Stroud's face. Like he literally like cried on the field. It's just one of those. It just how we talked about Detroit having like this rally and you know this rallying cry, this warrior cry, this warrior mantra. Same thing with Philly. I don't know if Houston has it. I think they get down 10-0, and it's like, all right, man, this has been a hell of a year. Let's just go to Cancun with Cincinnati and everybody else because it's like.
Well, the good news is they have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, who both have at least 11 sacks this season. You know, Stingley's been coming on in the secondary, but I don't know how much that matters if J.K. Dobbins is breaking
they're off. They're running draw. If they let them run up the field and they run draw plays right behind it.
Right. So I don't know. Houston's going to have to force turnovers. The problem with that is the Chargers only have 9 all year long. You know, Rashawn Slater is back. He didn't play last week against the Raiders with a knee issue. But he'll be back for this game. So
Justin Herbert hasn't thrown an interception on the road all season.
There you go. And the other thing about it, C.J. Stroud is the quarterback that has been sacked the most this year.
Worst interior line in football.
So you put it all in a pot, stir it up a little bit, and all I see is an ass kicking. So I got the Chargers 27-9.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I was thinking 27-10.
And for those of you who care about stuff like that, the Chargers are favored by 3, and the over-under is 42.5. So I think it goes under, and I think the Chargers cover.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for me to piss you off now?
There's no way. Like, unless you got something crazy. Let's hear it.
Is this going to be Mike Tomlin's last game as the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach?
That's not crazy.
Because I was thinking about this earlier, right? So a couple of weeks ago, you remember in the hot box, they kept sharing the whole trade for Kyle Shanahan. Trade for Kyle Shanahan. Would the Bears do it? And then I thought about it, and I was like, if you're one of these teams, especially somebody like, say, the Jets, who are an unserious franchise, you know, the first thing you need is culture. You know what I mean? Who better to provide that than Mike Tomlin? I don't think the Steelers are going to fire him, but if they lose this game, that'll be 8 years since their last playoff win?
I mean, Mike McCarthy, granted, had a lot of other stuff going on in Green Bay. He won a Super Bowl around that same time. And he ended up in Dallas. He's had some success in Dallas. Hasn't worked out in championships. But Andy Reid got fired in Philly. Went to Kansas City, got his rebound. I think Mike Tomlin, I believe he's probably in his early 50s, if that. Let's see. Maybe like somewhere between like 49 and 51, if I'm correct.
He is 52.
So I think he has, you know, a handful of years left. I would love to see him be successful in Pittsburgh, but I was watching the Rich Eisen podcast, and one of their guys is from Pittsburgh, and he said he was home for the holidays, And he was like, the fans there, the local media, the people you talk to, everybody's like, we need a change. We need a new coach. We need a new coach. And it's like, they're not satisfied with just winning. They want to win it all.
But the problem is not because of him.
Weapons that they've gotten them, you know, like the attitudes. Like think about the crash outs that they've had on right. that team that he
and,
has.
And I mean, he's a part of that. Like you enable that, you know what I mean? And I also think that from a certain standpoint, we look at these things, you know, he hasn't had a losing season, you know, saying salute, you know, saying no disrespect at all. That Super Bowl was a lot of moons ago.
I'm not even grading him off the Super Bowl.
Hold up, but wait. Yeah. But this is my real question. Does Mike Tomlin initiate the breakup from the standpoint of, we talk about this all the time. Look at the quarterbacks you've given me these last few years. Look at the roster you've given me these last few years. You pump faked all offseason. We were going to get Brandon Ayuk, and it didn't work. You know, we were in the Devontae Adams sweepstakes. We didn't get him. You know, so like, if you're Mike Tomlin, are you frustrated to a point of, I'm having the winning seasons and I'm producing and I'm holding up my end of the bargain, and y'all are still setting me up for failure?
They haven't done a good job of getting level-headed skill position guys around him. And I think it's a byproduct of his ability to just manage within chaos. Mm-hmm. I saw a video the other day, and it was talking about people who are in your job that are bad at, you know, who just aren't good workers. They get eliminated from like these group projects with like pressure deadlines, and then they give it to like their better employees, even though everyone's getting the same money. Mike Tomlin's in that group of people who are constantly working on the pressure deadline projects, but not getting the respect because people want it to be perfect because you're so used to this. You're always on this team. Why aren't you getting more out of this? Like, listen, because you're always giving me short deadlines. You're giving me limited supplies. Pickens, Claypool, Antonio Brown are three versions of the same type of player. Talent, measurables, but just unnecessary crash out stuff on the field. Like, it's unnecessary. George Pickens will just not catch a pass on third down. Like, it happens. Just walk off the field. It's an incomplete pass. Either you dropped it or it got defended or whatever it is. Just fucking walk off the field.
Right.
He's always joined with the corner. That's the corner's job. He did his job. You do your job. It's just Ladd McConkey wouldn't do that. And they both went to Georgia. You know, it's like, yeah. You drop it. It is what it is. But
when they lost that game last week,
when he was like, and the clock's running and all that, and he got all mad. It's like, it's your fault. Why don't you take
it? Well, when they lost the game to Cincinnati last week, it was the first time I felt, and this is just me, that I felt that I saw Mike Tomlin look miserable.
Like, because Russell Wilson should have thrown the ball out of bounds instead of trying to run someone right. over.
Especially the vet. The vet. But Mr. Logical, have you seen the line on this game?
Let me think. What's the over-under?
Over-under is 43.5. Obviously, Baltimore's favorite.
5.5.
Are you ready? You're sitting down, right? Baltimore by 9.5.
What the? This is the playoffs.
I'm taking Pittsburgh to cover that, first of all. I think this game is going to look more like the first game that they played against each other than the second game. The second game, Baltimore whooped them 34-10, or 34-17, I believe it was. The first game was the game where Derrick Henry fumbled for the first time in, you know, 300 snaps or whatever it was. You know, Lamar threw two of his four picks, by the way, this season. The Ravens all time are 1-3 in the playoffs against the Steelers. So I think the Steelers' defense is going to show up. The problem is I don't think their offense will. For Baltimore, Zay Flowers is out, so that'll help Pittsburgh somewhat, I guess. But both of these teams are going the opposite way. And that's why I brought up earlier, what does the regular season mean? Because Baltimore finished on a 4-game winning streak. Pittsburgh finished on a 4-game losing streak. So I'm going to go with Baltimore, number one in the league in rushing, number one against the run, which Pittsburgh is going to have to establish to have a chance in this game. I'm going to take that under, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh to cover. I'm going to call it 17-13.
Oh, yeah, you're tripping. It's going to be a lot like the second game.
Oh, Baltimore.
Because it's do or die, and I don't know if Russell Wilson is – I don't know if he has the cachet to rally the troops in a do-or-die situation. I think in Seattle in those early years, I think that Tyler Lockett connection where he's like, Tyler's down there somewhere, throw it up. Baldwin's down there somewhere, Kirk's down there. And I think in having like Marshawn Lynch, those years where it's just like, we can win this, and he went out, you know, every season, every few, it'd be two or three games where it's like he just marched them down the field, they get the victory. I don't think he's shown that in Pittsburgh. And then the last 4 weeks, yeah, keep in mind, I think the reports on Justin Fields were like he was a great locker room guy. So I believe the players like him. I think the players rally around him. So,
yeah, and it looks nice on the sideline. Like, he chats with Russell. Like, you know, it looks like he's, like, talking to him. Like,
it's going to be points in this game where Mike Tomlin's going to want to go to Justin Fields, but he's like,
I can't.
It's not. I can't do it now because it's, like, it's too late to try to make.
And it makes me look like I was wrong in the first place.
And I think your expectation for Justin Fields, like if you put him out there, say Baltimore goes up 17-7 and it's 9 minutes left in the third, 9-10 minutes left in the third. What's going on, Mike? One Mike
podcast. What up, Mike? One Mike podcast, Mondays and Thursdays. Don't forget the black on black news.
And now you're like, hey, I need a spark, and you put Justin in. Justin hadn't played, what, 2 months?
Something
he
like
played
that.
The first six games, and now he didn't. He hadn't played for 11. He definitely hadn't started.
I'm just going games. With it's going to be close because it's just a division game. It's the best rivalry in the NFL, so I'm just rolling with that.
That pick six that Russell Wilson threw against today threw to Marlon Humphrey after Baltimore after Lamar threw that pick. That is what I think we're going to get. That
okay?
Where it's just he's pressing because there's no comfort.
Okay, but we got Quinshon Judkins in the end zone, so 7-0 Ohio State, 7:21 left in the first quarter. I think I'm just going to go out on the limb and say it's Mike Tomlin's last game as the Steelers coach.
It wouldn't surprise me. Not because I think he did a poor job. I just think he hears the local media.
And I know. I wish he could hear me. Get away now. All right. So then,
you're not like the others.
So going to Sunday. All right, Mr. Logical, now I'm playing with your logic. Since I told you Baltimore's favorite by 9.5, you know, over Pittsburgh, what do you think Buffalo is favored over Denver by?
9.5.
That's a good point, Mike. 7.5. 8.5. And the over-under in that game is 47.5. So I feel like you're going to pick Buffalo just because I know how you feel about Sean Payton in the first place. But how would Denver win this game?
They would win it if Josh Allen turned back into a pumpkin this weekend.
Okay.
We know he is the offense. Shout out to One Mike Podcast. He's been on the James Cook train all year. You know, he said if he had a vote, he'd vote him MVP. But I think Denver, if Denver stops the run, then it becomes the Josh Allen show. Because he can physically do everything on a football field, that makes him susceptible to the turnover. He can throw it. He can throw the hard slant. He can check. He reads defense as well, so he can check to that go route that he wants. He can do pretty much whatever he wants on the field pre-snap as far as decision-making. He has complete autonomy, I'm sure, on the field. Coupled with the fact that he physically can do everything as well, I think that puts a lot of pressure on him, especially if Denver's defense is playing up to par. If they're playing lights out, stopping the run, and now it's, you know, he gets three play calls in his head, he gets two passes in a run, and the run's the primary play, and he looks up and he sees something like, you know what, I got to make a play because it's 3-0 early or halfway through the second. We haven't moved the ball. and he throws up one of those balls because he thinks he has man, you know, man coverage in his cover two, and then the safety picks it off. Something, I want to say silly like that, but something along those lines. You would need that. But then
okay. We're going to stop well, the run second for that question. Second question, how likely do you think that is?
I think they're comfortable with the run. Like you said, you know, like Mike is talking, James Cook has 16 touchdowns. So I don't think he's going to just not perform well. And I don't think they're going to shy away from the run because it's worked. Because it's not like Bo Nix is going to come out here and kill you. You know his deep threat is Mims. Cortland Sutton is his possession receiver. They don't really have like an ultra dynamic running game. They have a, you know, they have a good running game. They have a smart running game. And I think Sean Payton and Bo Nix are on the same page, and they seem to be on the same page every week. It's rare where you, ever since they yelled at each other on the sideline, and then Bo Nix went to the podium and say, he said that he loved me, and I said, I love you too. You can just tell, like, from that game on, he was like, okay, this young guy gets it. He didn't go to the podium and be like, you know, he's like, oh. Either they agreed to say that or something Bo Nix came up with. But you could tell, like, ever since then, they've just been in sync.
It just showed his moxie.
His maturity. You know, the stuff that happens when you're in college for that long.
Well, you know,
your coach's son, real gym rat, you know, all those good locker room guy. You know, all those monikers they give to certain hues.
Well, you know, Buffalo hasn't lost a game at home this year. They've won their 8 home games by an average of 17 points. The Broncos only give up 18 points per game. Now, we did see Josh Allen have the 9-for-30 against Houston that I mentioned. The last couple of weeks of the regular season, I wouldn't say he turned into a pumpkin, but he began to wilt just a little bit. So I do think that Denver can keep this game somewhat close, reasonably close. But you never know with rookie quarterbacks, you know, especially on the road in the playoffs, where since 2015, rookie quarterbacks are 0-5 on the road. So outside of that game in Baltimore where Denver lost 41-10, they didn't necessarily get dog walked by anybody else, you know, so they've been hanging around. The thing I don't like is that they're 2-7 in games against teams with winning records. That includes last week against the Kansas City J squad. So I don't know what to take from that. Outside of when they play good teams, it just doesn't go well. And I was on board with Denver's defense, but Cincinnati game, I just can't get it out of my head.
Most good teams have a good defense. And a rookie against a good defense, you can knock off 5 points. So if they're averaging 24 points against, you know, everybody else against like a good defense, you're probably going to be somewhere around 18-19 points.
Yeah.
So, and that normally means a couple of mistakes, a few more punts, you know, two, three possessions in a row with punts, you know, like little things like that, that gets the ball back to the better team. Mm-hmm. They go up 2 possessions. Now you have to throw it more. He's throwing 40 passes, stuff like that.
Right.
So like I said, if Buffalo stays committed to the run, and they don't get enamored with Josh Allen like he's some kind of new toy. Like, yo, he can do everything. Like, yo, just keep it simple. You don't need him to run the ball into linebackers. You have running backs for that. You don't need him to throw the ball deep. You have 2 really good tight ends that can beat safety coverage. They're definitely going to beat any kind of linebacker coverage. Just stick to what you have in front of you. Let 17 do his thing. Don't make him do everything, and right. I think they'll win.
Yeah, and I brought up earlier. C.J. Stroud, you know, being sacked the most in the league. This is one of those something's got to give matchups because Josh Allen has been sacked the least of any quarterback. Denver has the most sacks in the NFL, so I'm gonna go with Buffalo. Of course, you know, why would I do anything else? But I'm gonna go with Buffalo, and I'm actually gonna call it. I mean, I still say Buffalo covers, but I'm going to call it something like 27-17.
Yeah, that's realistic.
You know, and then
28-13, something like that. But like I said, I just think stick to what you have. You have all your horses. Amari Cooper's back. You have your weapons. Utilize them properly.
Are you ready for me to piss you off again? Because this just popped into my head. All right. So upset alert. You got the Washington Commanders going down to the pirate ship. And I haven't felt this confident in a game since Washington played the Falcons.
All right, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
So, you know, today is Mike Evans Day down in Florida, I see. But yeah, the Santa Claus trying to, you know, turn it around, the sanctimonious. But anyway, you know, this is a rematch from week one. You know, Tampa Bay got out of there with a 37-20 win. I'm throwing that out the window because that was too long ago. You know, Jaden has shown that he's the real deal. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. The thing is that Tampa has to jump out on Washington, I believe, because if this game is close, Jaden has four game-winning drives this year, including the Hail Mary heard around the world against Chicago. You know, I think
Tyree Stevenson.
I think that both teams are going to give it up in the passing game, but where Washington might have a problem is that they have the worst defense in the league as far as yards per carry, which is already bad since your secondary is so bad. But the good news for Washington is in those moments, those clutch moments, Jaden Daniels is not too big for him. Pause, you know, but on the season, Mr. Logical, Washington, 20 of 23 on fourth down. So they're not afraid of the moment. That's weird, that's right?
Huge.
83%. That's crazy. Yeah, that's because
he knows to when to use his legs.
Yeah, and I'm here for Marshawn Lattimore versus Mike Evans part 38. I'm here for it, you know, all the way. Baker Mayfield's going to eat. The magic number in this game, Mr. Logical, is 24. I found this on NBC Sports. Washington is 10-0 when they hold their opponents under 24. Tampa Bay is 9-1 when they hold teams to 23 or less. So I'm going to just split the baby.
Something's got to give.
28-24 Commanders.
I like 28-24 Tampa Bay. I just think I like Baker Mayfield, I like the Mike Evans relationship. I like Todd Bowles staying out of the way and just kind of letting teams do their thing. You know, I think it's just a home playoff game for Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield, they took Philly out last year at home.
Uh-huh.
The rookie quarterback, and I get Jaden Daniels is gonna do his thing. I just feel like the defense on the back end and that the Lattimore Evans thing, it could backfire.
It could,
because the defensive player tends to get called for the personal foul penalty a little bit more. Like the extracurricular stuff.
Maybe I do expect a lot of Bucky Irvin. There's going to be a lot of Bucky Irvin. And me and Mike told the world about him earlier this year, too.
Yeah, but if they want the bake show to bake, you never know. You know, 40, 45 passes. But 28-24 Tampa Bay seems reasonable. I think it'll be a good game. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be too big for the moment. I think it's going to look like how we feel about the NBA, how it doesn't look like there's a group of guys that the most highlighted and decorated players can like pass the torch to. I think the NFL has that, and it's going to look like one of those games where at the end Baker Mayfield is going to be, they're going to do the handshake in the middle of the field, and he's going to say something like, "Hey, in a few years this league is going to be yours," something like along those lines. It's going to be one of those kind of games.
Okay. Tampa favorite by 3, over under 50.5. So then we take it up.
28, 24, I guess it's 52.
Yep, that's over. Yep.
Yeah, and the over and the points, yeah.
We're going to stay in the NFC East. We're going to go up to Pennsylvania. The Philadelphia Eagles, 4.5-point favorites over Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, over under is 4.5. Jordan Love with the banged up throwing arm, you know, allegedly he's numb and he's not feeling his hand very well right now. You know, Christian Watson injured the knee last week. Before all that happened, I was very much prepared to pick Green Bay to win this game. I was very much prepared to do so. I'm not. Jalen Hurts.
I had a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I had my, you know, my Kansas City, Detroit was my, I was like, it wouldn't shock me if Green Bay. But Jordan Love keep getting hurt in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. And this is also a rematch from week one. And it's hard to take anything away from that game because they were playing on that shitty field in Brazil.
Yeah, playing on
Jordan Love got hurt in that game.
Yeah, green mud in the pocket. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, in the pocket. Yeah, and so this is the problem for the Eagles, though. They gotta score early. All this year, so it's a catch 22, the gift and the curse. They lead the league in fourth quarter points. They only average 3 points in the first quarter. So they can't let Tampa Bay get out. I mean, I'm sorry. They can't let Green Bay get out on them early, because if Jordan Love gets just the slightest bit of confidence, you know, they could be in trouble. And I don't know if Aaron Jones is better than Josh Jacobs or not, but I feel like they're in the same conversation. And, you know, I like Philly's defense in that matchup, though.
What time is kickoff for Philly?
Let's see here.
Is that the first game?
But, you know, so Philly, Green Bay secondary is going to be the issue in this game, I believe, because Jair Alexander, of course, is out for the season. That game is at 3:30 Eastern on Sunday.
3:30. We're looking 3:30. At 30 degrees. No. We're looking at like 32 degrees.
So at the freezing point.
Sunny. Yeah.
You know, I do. If Jordan Love is, I'd say, 85% healthy, I think the Packers are still alive in this game. But like I mentioned earlier, I think there's a guy named Mr. Barkley who's going to want to be fed after not playing last weekend. You're getting Saquon on rest. You know, so Jalen Hurts doesn't necessarily – I don't think he has to necessarily do too much. They don't have to rely.
And that also comes with the rested offensive line, because you didn't have to play – starters, mm-hmm. because you didn't play the starting running back.
Now, some more potential bad news is the Slim Reaper, you know, didn't practice today. So we'll see what that leads to on Sunday. But I'm leaning Philly. I'm going to take Philly. And I think I'm going to take Philly big. And when I say big, I ain't necessarily talking about three touchdowns. But I'm going to take them something along the line.
17 points.
30-14.
30-14.
Or 31-14. There you go. 17. 31-14.
I mean,
because I just don't know how healthy Jordan Love is. That's the thing.
I think there's enough Toradol in their medical packs that can get them through the game. It's just, I don't know if the weapons will hold up. Just because Philly's front seven is immaculate. You have just size and speed. Jalen Carter's an all-pro. But then you just have young speed and talent on the outside, you know, defensively. Got Reed Blankenship, who's just like, you know, he just commands a lot like Harrison Smith. We'll talk about him when we get to Minnesota. And you got Darius Slay on the sideline. He's still imparting wisdom on the young corner. So it's like, yeah, his body's older and he can't, you know, cover the number one guy. But he's like, listen, I can give these young guys the same information. So I just feel like Philly, like we talked about with Sirianni, from the outside looking in, you listen to ESPN and Fox Sports 1 and all these different shows, you think Sirianni's out of here. He's blah, blah, blah.
What up, Joy?
Within the organization, and I think with on the team, I think the team is good to go. We talked about the A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurst thing a few weeks ago, and they said that in the win. Maybe it just was like they expected to play better against Carolina. And when they didn't play better, like that frustration came out. Maybe that whole week they were just like, yeah, we're going to blow these guys out. And Carolina just played a little harder than they thought they would. And they were in a bigger battle.
Oh, and I hit my over on Carolina, by the way.
On the wins?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I hit my over on that. But
you can thank Atlanta for that one, too.
You know, but I think the Eagles win this game. And, you know, I'll circle back to that a little bit later. So then let's go to Monday night. You know, saying the Vikings not going to SoFi, you know, saying prayers to everybody in LA, but they're going out to Phoenix to play in the State Farm Dome, which is kind of wild considering that State Farm was the never mind. So we got the yeah. So, Mr. Logical, I hear some ringing, you know, saying Minnesota favored by 2.5. Over under is 48, and I'm calling the upset. I'm taking the Rams. So this is a rematch as well. If you remember Thursday Night Football, it was the first game Puka came back, the first game Cooper Kupp came back. Sam Darnold got the face mask in the end zone that we came in here and talked about.
That wasn't the most egregious no call of the year.
It was.
Just because it's nothing else going on.
And it's the quarterback.
It's the quarterback in the pocket by himself and one defender, three referees.
Yes, over your Vikings. You know what I'm saying? I think this is the thing. I think that old Yeller got at least one in him. You know, old Yeller being Matt Stafford. I think he got at least one in him. And, you know, I think that Minnesota is just Sam Darnold, for all intents and purposes, is a rookie quarterback when it comes to the playoffs. You know, the good news is they don't have to go on the road. Not that L.A. is the most intimidating place anyway, but it's you're basically getting a neutral site game. Yeah, you're getting a neutral site game. This is student against teacher. Sean McVay, the teacher, Kevin O'Connell, my coach of the year, the student. You know, the Rams won that game 30-20, and here's one for you, Mr. Logical and Mike. Y'all will love this one. Kevin O'Connell, since he's been the coach of the Minnesota Vikings, he is 30-3 in games that they don't lose the turnover battle. So as long as they tie the turnovers or win the turnovers, they're 30-3. Thank you, Sam Darnold, because all three of those losses are on your watch. Come on, number four.
Like I said earlier this week, L.A. was – I said it last week and I said it earlier this week. Not playing Matthew Stafford and the other starters better be worth it, and this is going to be a litmus test for that.
And you brought up the other thing, right?
See you in 2 weeks. So, you know, you got your bulletin board material, or is Minnesota flat out just playing better than the Rams? The Rams at one point were 1-4, and they won a game, and it was like if they would have lost that game, it would have been open season. You could have probably gotten anybody under contract in a trade from the Rams, and McVay was going to be on Fox or CBS or NFL Network starting this summer, you know, when we get our show on NFL Network or Fox, one of these other shows, putting in the atmosphere.
What up, Joe?
But seeing try to get some of that peanut butter skin on our show. But
I've been known to eat a peanut butter sandwich too.
Yeah, we're about to get canceled already. But them not trying to get three and playing the rookie.
Man, she got the milk with that peanut butter too. Oh, my bad.
I don't tell sign and stuff. Matter of fact, I do. Whatever. It's all well. We all seen it. She's been wearing turtlenecks all week. But yeah, I like Minnesota. I like Minnesota in this game just because I think Minnesota's probably looking at it like, wait, hold on. You rested your starters knowing that you might have to play us. Like, we good. We don't care who comes in here.
Kendrick Lamar voice.
Because they were going for their 15th win out of 17 games. And you didn't know if we had 15 wins or 14 when you decide. Like, we have 14 wins. You decided to rest your guys. Like,
yeah, the Rams said that you not like us, no Drizzy.
So I got to see you in 2 weeks. I got the redemption for Kevin O'Connell to try to get Dan Campbell back. And just overall, I just feel like Minnesota is just – I think they have better weapons. I like Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, but I just think that Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson is a more dynamic duo. And it's just, like I said, they rested their starters to get these guys at home, and then now they're playing in Arizona. So it's just like so many things just kind of just went against their and you gotta keep
why are you always guys, being disrespectful?
These guys are they're from LA. I don't know where everyone's heads at. I don't know how many people are going to be their like personal lives adversely affected by this, by the wildfires. It's a lot going on.
I don't know why you being disrespectful and acting like, you know, saying Kyren Williams ain't run for 1,299 yards. You know, but I think that the issue is going to be, you know, see that school over there next to that Denver Nuggets jersey. You know, saying Braden Fisk and Jarrett Verse going to put Sam Darnold in the torture rack. That's what's going to happen this weekend. We're going to see some picks. We're going to see a strip sack. And the Rams are going to take this thing something along the lines of, it was 30-20 last time. I don't think the Rams win by that much this time. So, you know, so I'm going to call this one 31-27.
31, I like that. I'm going to go 30-24, Minnesota.
Okay.
There's going to be some points. I think I got a couple.
You know what I just thought about?
I got a couple of parlays, so I need some touchdowns and field goals from every team. So, like, I need points in every game.
You know what I just thought about, though?
I'm listening.
If Green Bay wins this weekend, they got to go to Detroit next week.
Correct.
Philly and Detroit back-to-back is nasty. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lex Luger, that's right. You know what I'm saying? But Mr. Logical, real quick before we move on and finish this up, let's play one more quick game real quick.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. So what you're about to see on the screen is this playoff bracket. All right, let's see. Here we go. All right, so we ain't got to spend a lot of time on it, but just game by game, walk me to your Super Bowl.
All right, Minnesota, Detroit, second round.
So Tampa, Philly.
So then I got Tampa, Philly, Buffalo, Baltimore, Chargers, KC, Baltimore, Detroit, Philly. Detroit and KC, I know it's chalk. I just feel like, I don't know how much Hollywood Brown's presence is going to make a difference, but I think just having him out there shifts the coverage at least enough to where Hopkins can get to
second. I don't know. All I know is I would take Scotty Miller over Hollywood Brown. You know what I'm saying? So who's your Super Bowl winner then? You going with the three-peat?
I'm gonna go with the three-peat for the sake of history, just because okay. I mean they're 15-1. I mean they're 15-2, but they were 15-1 when they played. Mahomes. I talked about the heartbeat monitor, like when the defense on the field versus when he's on the field. We saw the Super Bowl last year. They had no business beating San Francisco last year.
They had no business beating Philly the first time.
I mean, just no rhyme or reason why they won that game last year. Joey Bosa stays home, and Brock Purdy's already getting paid $52 million a year.
Mike said,
he just stays in that spot.
Mike said the script went the exact way that the script was supposed to go.
So all right. The script has two Midwestern markets in the Super Bowl.
So
that's what the NFL did. If the script ever was a script, it'd be Jets, Giants in one Super Bowl at least out of these. We're going on 56, 57.
Yeah, so I call my Super Bowl or my playoff bracket chaos theory. So starting at the top there, I'm taking the Rams, of course. So I got Rams, you know, at Lions because I got Philly winning, which means Washington at Philly. So I end up with Detroit and Philly in my NFC championship game with Philadelphia winning. Over in the AFC, it gets fun. You know, it gets real fun because I got the Chargers winning. Then I got Buffalo winning. I got Baltimore winning. So earlier when we were doing our preseason picks, I said something along the lines of the Texans are going to go into Arrowhead and end the three-peat before it gets started. Now I'm doing is flipping a team because I got the Chargers going into Arrowhead next week. This team that is built for the playoffs with Jim Harbaugh as their head coach, affectionately known, pause, as Coach Khaki, going into Arrowhead and deading the Chiefs right on the spot.
So you got Andy Reid versus Harbaugh in that scenario. You're going with Harbaugh.
I'm going with Harbaugh. And then I got Baltimore whooping Buffalo's ass again. Because I just think that Buffalo's not a good matchup for Baltimore. You know, now if Pittsburgh wins that game, you know what I'm saying, and we get Kansas City or Houston in Buffalo, we might get a little interesting. But for the sake of this, I'm going with Baltimore and the Chargers in my AFC Championship game, a Harbaugh Bowl for the AFC Championship, but I'm going with Baltimore to win that, and then I am going with the Eagles over the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
I like that. I like that. I think the Buffalo Baltimore game is probably a good call, because I think Baltimore's defense has the athletes on the field to where they can spy Josh Allen. I think Kyle Hamilton, like, I know they moved him back and that's kind of reshaped their defense, but I think bringing him in the box on certain downs, like that third and six where Josh might run, I think bringing him in the box is a spy. I think Roquan Smith, just they said his ability to call out plays and play recognition, you know, between him at the middle linebacker position and Kyle Hamilton behind him, just kind of keeping the shape of the defense, keeping him in the box. Yeah, right. I like that pick. Like I said, this Kansas City, just to me, just until the luster wears off, I just figure, like, why pick against them?
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So real quick before we get out of here, though, you know what I'm saying? We have one half of the national title game figured out. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish pulled one out of their ass, so to speak. Pause. Rabbit out the hat. You got Ohio State right now with a 7-0 lead over the Longhorns with 10:37 left in the second quarter. I thought it'd be a little more high scoring early. But Mr. Logical, what the hell happened to Penn State?
You have a long season and mistakes happen. It just, their mistake happened at the absolute wrong time. I like going for the win. I just like in a tie game after you force punts defensively when they got the stop defensively. They were just putting pressure on Riley Leonard. I'm looking at it like, if we go into overtime and it's a field goal, if it's a kickoff, you know, is my kicker good enough? Because my defense is pushing Notre Dame back. So if Notre Dame, you know, you go to overtime, first down, you get a sack. Now it's second and 18 from the 33. It was looking like Abdul Carr was taking over the game, especially in those definite passing situations. I don't know if you go with any kind of pass play over the middle to the wide receivers who hadn't caught anything all game. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, if I'm not going to Warren, or if I'm not hitting a check down or a draw play or a screen out of the backfield, I don't have a single play call where anybody's crossing in the middle of the field. I'm mm-hmm. throwing guys on go routes, corner routes, deep outs. Like, I want space for my tight end to work the middle of the field because he was beating his, you know, he'll beat mismatches like he's beating them all year. The wide receivers weren't doing that. So I was like, I thought that was a tough time to call that play. He did panic a little bit, but maybe sometimes I'll go back to the Super Bowl where Atlanta lost to the Patriots. Atlanta was punting back to Julian Edelman when the game was tied.
Okay.
And I remember Bill Belichick, like before the punt, like he was like halfway on the field. He's like, Julian. And he gave him like specific instructions. He's like, hey, if they kick it to this distance, catch it and go. If it's here, just fair catch it, save some time so they can try to set up like a couple, they can get a couple plays. But it was like very direct, like, hey, do this if they do this, do this if they do that. I think if James Franklin says, hey, listen, if it's not there, just take the sack, we'll go into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, go out here, win this game, then I think that changes the mindset. Because he threw the ball like they were down 24 to 21 versus being tied 24 all.
Well, like, the craziest thing, the biggest thing in this game was somehow Riley Leonard and their right guard got hurt on the same play. And the redshirt sophomore, Steve Angeli, who is the future of Notre Dame football, came in, got them those 3 points before halftime. That was the biggest thing of the game right there. That set up the scenario that you're talking about. Abdul Carter coming off of the injury, you know, 7 pressures. You know, 5 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for loss. That man's going to be a beast in the NFL one of these days. And he declared, you know, so there's that. But
hope you like Georgia.
I think that this is one of those games where two things can be true at once. Because people are going to say, oh, James Franklin blew it again. And I don't necessarily know if you can just throw this at James Franklin's feet.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but that's going to be the narrative because he's now 1-18 against top five teams, you know, in 13 straight losses. So, you know, but when I look at it, Marcus Freeman is just the real deal as a head coach. Remember, you brought up the tight end, Tyler Warren, my Heisman guy.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, no catches.
No catches.
No catches. You know, Nick Singleton with three touchdowns. So if I would have told you before the game that Nick Singleton had three touchdowns and that Riley Leonard missed a possession or two, you'd have probably told me Penn State won by 17 or something along those lines.
31-14, absolutely, yeah.
You know, but, you know, Notre Dame, as I mentioned, neither team was really going to be able to move the ball up and down the field on each other, I guess, until the middle of the fourth quarter. They just decided to take the gloves off. But looking at this, Notre Dame's just a team of adversity. It almost has one of those destiny feels to it.
You could say destiny, but if you think about Notre Dame, and I know James Franklin mentioned this in the press conference about, you know, every team should be in the conference. We talked about it before as far as that Notre Dame played a pretty tough schedule. And they just get talent from all over the country because they're Notre Dame. Like, they get an influx of five stars from everywhere, four and five stars from all over the country because they're Notre Dame. They recruit that way. So they're always going to have talent. They're always going to be able to compete, especially if they get the quarterback position. You know, like, Riley Leonard isn't a great throw the ball, but he's pretty dynamic with his feet, and he's good enough as a quarterback with all the talent that they have because they, like I said, they can just absorb talent from the entire country. It's not just their region, and I think that's what makes them special. And if I'm them, I'm staying independent as long as I can because we have the money to do that. Our money's long. We're good.
Yeah, they broke that down.
Focus on the Big Ten. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they broke that down. Penn State's going to keep $20 million. I mean, I'm sorry. Notre Dame's going to keep $20 million. You know, whereas like Ohio State, Penn State going to have to split stuff. You know, Oregon's going to split it up. You know, between and all the schools in the conference.
Good news for Franklin, though, is like, listen, if there's wide receivers that are going to hit the transfer portal, like guys who are potentially going to be top draft picks next year, like you got, like how we knew last season coming into this year, that guy T-Mac down in Arizona was going to be a top pick. Guys like that, if Drew Aller comes back, I'm looking to transfer to Penn State because you could tell they don't have dynamic wide receivers. And if you're one of these guys that can, like, yo, I can stretch the field, I can get open, I would examine that. Maybe
I know
maybe
they even grabbed the receiver from Ohio State and it still didn't work.
Yeah, maybe it's Franklin's play call and his playbook, so forth and so on. But it's like, if you are a guy like Jeremiah Smith, not necessarily he's going to transfer, but if you're that kind of dynamic athlete and you look at Penn State and what they were going through last night, you're like, you know what? I think I can make a difference there. And it's Penn State. I'm on TV all the time. I'm in a big-time program. My NIL money is going to be legit, you know, $1.5 million.
Speaking of NIL, allegedly, Carson Beck got about four of them things.
I mean, sometimes it's just good to be tall in America. Like, yeah, I was talking to a kid in my office. He used to play basketball. He's short. He was like, I was pretty good growing up, but then I didn't grow, so I just stopped getting picked. And he started just picking tall guys. And it's like, because he hadn't really shown much that says he's going to be like the savior of Miami. But he'll be able to go down there. Maybe Miami can hit the transfer portal, get some of that Michael Irvin money, get a couple of guys that make him – he won't look as good as Cam Ward because Cam Ward just was just like his level of comfort in the pocket and just on the field was just second to none. Mm-hmm. But he had horses in Georgia. He didn't really make a lot of shit pop. So I can't imagine what he's doing in Miami. I think you told me earlier that his girlfriend, alleged, she goes to Miami or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like a no-brainer. Like, let me go down there and get $4 million, hang out on South Beach with my girlfriend. Like, yeah, I'll play some mediocre football and go in the first round.
And then last thing, you see my guy Jeremiah Love out there talking all that trash? He said, we won Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Because they beat us last year in South Bend. And we just think they're better than Texas.
Yeah. I don't care. They could bring in another team that already got eliminated to play a national championship. I don't care. I just want to play for the national championship and hoist a trophy. Who you play is irrelevant. I just want to win. Like, I don't know why guys keep – I don't understand the why. Like, I don't get it. Because you can celebrate when you win. I know you want to win. I know you put your shoulder pads and your cleats on because you want to win the game. There's no need to say who you want to beat.
Right.
I want to win because I'm out here competing. That's a no-brainer. Like, why add to your frustration? Add it to now people going to be hitting you up on Instagram or making signs. And
yeah,
you
so now
– tough first half, and it's like, oh, I thought you really won Ohio State.
So now when Ohio State beats Notre Dame for the national title, Ryan Day's going to say, where's Jeremiah Love? You know what I'm saying?
He's still going to be looking for Lou Holtz.
Yeah, he's still going to be looking for Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz going to be drooling somewhere. You know what I mean? And, you know, Cam Ward, you know, like I was just telling Mike in the comments, you know, Carson Beck got $4 million. Cam Ward only got $1.5 million.
Listen, the price of the brick went up.
Price of the brick went up. You know what I mean? And also, Duke's quarterback, I believe is Darian Mensa. I know his last name is Mensa. But he got $4 million as well to come from Tulane.
Listen, you know, ride that wave as much as you can. If you're a 6'1" quarterback and you're dynamic, and they want to pay you, I say do 2 years of college, get about $6 to $8 million. And if you go in the third round of NFL draft, you might get a 3-year contract that's $4.2 million. So you do the math. You get to live in college life, you get to live in Manhattan, Kansas, and be the toast of the town, or you can get drafted by the Miami Dolphins in the third round and back up Tua for 2 years. It's like, what do you want?
Yep. And then speaking of Tulane quarterbacks, you know, Ty Thompson was next in line after Darian Mensa went to Duke. He put his name into the transfer portal. Now he decided to come back, but switched to tight end. So just saying, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I still need to know. I got to look up what Malik Murphy got paid by Oregon State because, you know, you left an ACC team to go to a Pac-12 team and there's only two teams in the Pac-12. Hey, like, I don't, like you hustling backwards, dog. Hustling backwards. Like, there had to be a job at Virginia or something for you.
Yeah. Listen, the price of the brick went up.
You know what I'm saying? Virginia's quarterback went to UNLV. To play for Dan Mullen. So, I don't know, man, what these dudes doing, man.
Yes.
You know.
Advice. Get good advice. My mom used to say, pick up people's good habits, not their bad habits. So,
yeah.
Get some good advice and make your decisions based off of that.
So, I want y'all out there to pick up your remotes because we got NFL playoffs starting tomorrow. We will be back on Tuesday with reaction. And we got a long wait because the national title game isn't until January 20th. So, jeez. Might be time to squeeze some association in there for you.
Yeah, maybe a little hockey.
But he is the even kill. He is Mr. Logical. You better not bring feelings to a fact fight.
Don't do it.
And over here with these guitars sounding like Parliament. You know what I'm saying? 2-5 is in the building. We love you. See you next week. Enjoy. Like, review, subscribe, share, rate, do all the free things. And while you at it, do all those good things. See you soon. Peace.